Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place will be from Psalm 27, all the verses of Psalm 27, and then also from the book of Acts, chapter 16. And we'll begin with Psalm 27, which is our scripture text, and you can find that on your bulletins, in the insert in your bulletins. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, and then also from Acts 16, beginning at verse 19 and reading through verse 26. But let's begin with Psalm 27, a favorite psalm of many, Psalm 27. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me up high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for their false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take courage. Wait for the Lord. And then if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. Acts 16, beginning at verse 19 through verse 26. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. When they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. When they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Thus, the reading of God's word this morning from Psalm 27 and Acts 16. Keep in mind, on the back of your scripture reading and your bulletins is also an outline of this morning's message. Psalm 27 is one of those psalms that is filled with familiar verses, sometimes verses we are familiar with that perhaps we don't even know come from Psalm 27. One of those verses is verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Another favorite is verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Another favorite, often read, especially for a youth, verse 10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. And then that last verse of the psalm, so often given to us as a reminder of what we must do before the Lord. Verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 27 is a loved and much quoted psalm. And the psalm left a deep impression on me at a very young age. At 14 years old, my grandfather had suffered a heart attack. In the 2 weeks between his heart attack and his final death, he had recited from memory Psalm 23 and Psalm 27 over and over again. At a young age, I still remember so clearly standing around the hospital bed with these words recited by him as he stared in the face of death, saying the words of verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Saying with joy on his face, those words of verse 4, "One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple." Staring the face of darkness and death, joy and hope and light and salvation and great confidence in the salvation that had been given him. There are many a person who has recited or memorized the words of this psalm on their deathbed. But as you look at the psalm, you will see that it's got a greater purpose than simply someone who is facing death or the sick and dying. This psalm is a psalm that can apply to anyone at any time. And what makes Psalm 27 so special is that Psalm 27 as a whole is the story of how a believer will put faith over fear. We live in a society that is filled with fear. Laws are made because of fears. Presidential campaigns are won because of fears. We are all dealing with personal fears in our lives, whether they be fears with our families or issues that we face. But as you look at Psalm 27, it is the story of how a believer puts his faith over any fear. Now, as you look at Psalm 27, some people have described it as perhaps two psalms or a backwards psalm. And the reason they say so is because as you read through the psalm, it does not start out as you would predict many of the psalms to do. So many of the psalms start out with a complaint unto the Lord. Think of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me?" The first verse of Psalm 22. They start out, so many of them, with a complaint unto the Lord, a call out to the Lord, and then an expression of faith at the end. As you look at Psalm 22, or as you look at Psalm 27 this morning, you'll see that in verse 7, we finally have the cry out to God. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me." And some people have said, this seems like a backward psalm. Where is the complaint at the beginning and the working out of faith at the end? Instead, the psalmist begins the psalm with an expression of his faith and hope. Verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" There are two images in that first verse which express the psalmist's faith and the believer's faith. The image in verse 1, the first line, is the image of light. A second image is found in the third line, the image of the Lord as his stronghold or fortress. These two images expressed at the very beginning of the psalm are the expression of the psalmist's understanding of his salvation and where he belongs and the Lord's role in his life. When you think of the Lord as the psalmist's light and salvation, you must contrast it then with the opposite. The Lord is not darkness, but the psalmist, because he sees the Lord as his light, is in the darkness. The psalmist finds himself in a dark and desperate situation. We don't know specifically in this psalm what the situation is. The psalm tells us that David wrote the psalm, and we know that there were many times in David's life that he was facing a dark and desperate situation. And as he faces this dark and desperate situation, he does, as you read verse 7, no doubt with tears and pain, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me." He's calling out to God, and as he calls out to God, he does so recognizing that the Lord is his light. In the midst of darkness, he sees a clear light of salvation, and he declares, "What or whom shall I fear?" The second image that we see in verse 1 is the image here of the Lord as his stronghold, the Lord as his fortress. Some of your translations use the word the Lord as his defense. That is the idea that he finds his refuge, his strength in the Lord. But again, what does it say when we think of the opposite description? This David, this King David, who had lived in the city of Jerusalem and its protective walls, this David who had experienced the safety of being inside of a fortress with protection from his enemies, now is describing the Lord as the stronghold of his life because he is in a situation where his earthly protection is gone. His earthly protection, his earthly fortress, his earthly hope and strength that he has built in his own hands or his own strength to protect himself from the enemies or for the darkness around him. Now he finds himself unprotected and he's left all exposed and he declares, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" What kind of faith is this? In the midst of darkness, in the midst of a defenseless situation where he can do nothing in his own strength to find his way out or to protect himself, what does he do? How does he find his hope and strength? He finds his answer in the light and the salvation of the Lord. Think how many in this world do not see the light in the darkness. But God's word tells us that there is light, the light of salvation, which David tells us, which God's word tells us, we find in him. Now, as you go on to verses 2 and 3, you see David describing a further description of his situation. As he describes verse 2, he is describing in more detail what it means that he is in darkness. "When the evildoers assail me to eat my flesh, my adversaries and foes," David finds himself in a dark situation where he cannot see around him clearly what is going on. He feels as if there are evildoers about him. There are those that are ready to attack, ready to pounce, those who are ready to eat up his flesh. And he feels so much pain in that darkness. He wonders what to do. He knows he has the Lord, But the situation is so dark. The situation is so painful. He feels it deep inside of himself. He feels as if he is defenseless and there are many all around ready to attack, ready to pounce. Think how many people are there today. Whether it be an illness, finding out that you've got cancer or some physical ailment that could soon take your life. Think about the financial troubles that so many deal with today. Some taking call after call about how the bills will be paid. They feel as if they are all alone and there are people with demands on every single side. Think of those lost in the darkness of a drug dependence or of alcohol dependence. They seem as if they are dependent on it and there's no way they can find their way out. Or those in the darkness of a family situation, a marriage, or trouble with a child, and that worry is with them day after day, and it goes deep inside them, and there it sits, painful, and it seems as if there is no light. Yet the psalmist knows that, as he declares at the end of verse 2, it is they who stumble and fall. How could he say that? In the darkness, surrounded by enemies, as he describes it, he is confident in the Lord all along that it is they who will stumble and fall. And because he belongs to the Lord, no matter how difficult the situation, he is victorious. Verse 3 goes on to describe how desperate more his situation. There is an army encamped around him. He has described in verse 1 the Lord as the stronghold of his life. His fortress has come down, his earthly fortress. And yet, verse 3, it seems as if the enemies have encamped around him. In the third line of verse 3, wars are rising up against him. He finds himself in a situation where he is defenseless, he is exposed, he is out in the open, and there's no earthly means that he can use to protect himself. And yet, what does he say in his heart? Verse 3, my heart shall not fear. What does he say at the end of verse 3? Yet I will be confident. Confidence in a dark and defenseless situation. No fear in his heart in a desperate and dark situation. How can he say that? What is it that gives him his strength? Verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. Do you see where his focus is? Do you see what his one request is? So many, when they find themselves in such a situation, they try to fix the situation on their own. They want to provide whatever means that they think in their own strength, whether it be their own finances, whether it be their own protection, whatever it may be, they want to find that, and they pray and pray that the Lord would give that to them. But as David prays in verse 4, he has one request. He has one focus. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after. There's one thing he wants. There's one thing he seeks. There's one thing he needs. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. His desire of his heart is to be with God, to worship God. And because of his relationship with God and his knowledge of who God is and understanding the beauty of the Lord and being in the Lord's presence, he knows that if he has that, he has the strength to face whatever situation he's in, whatever dark the situation, whatever defenselessness of the situation. His heart, his mind is not, Lord, give me this so it's better. Give me this so it's better. His heart is to be close and with the Lord. Verse 5, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me high upon a rock. As he has described in the first part of the psalm, the fact that the Lord is his stronghold. As he's described in verse 3, the defenselessness of his situation. Wherever he is, he's out in the open. He doesn't have the walls of protection. He is out in the darkness, surrounded by enemies, completely exposed. But look how he describes in verse 5 his relationship with the Lord. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me up high upon a rock. Think of how many in the world do not know or comprehend that type of covering. Think how many do not know what it means to be lifted up out of the darkness and defenselessness of the situation they find themselves in. He will lift me up. The Lord will lift him up because he belongs to the Lord. God will protect him, and he will be in that land of the living. Verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Because of his relationship with the Lord, David understands that his salvation is true. That the situation he's in, that he belongs to the land of the living, that he belongs in the presence of God, and that God has saved him and delivered him, though so many around him want to see him stumble and fall in the darkness of the situation he's in. When David is thinking of the tent of the Lord, he is thinking of the place where God dwells. We know that as he describes the tent of the Lord in verses 4 through 6, the house of the Lord, the place of the Lord, we know he's speaking much more than just the temple in Jerusalem. But go to verse 13. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David is thinking more than the tabernacle. David is thinking more than the temple that Solomon would later build, his own son. He is thinking of heaven and how the tabernacle is pointing to heaven. And he thinks about that place where he longs to be. That is the one thing that he seeks. Now, as you look again at Psalm 27, as you look at the first part of these verses, you ask yourself, how does this Old Testament writer understand what these things are about? We know they had an understanding of heaven. We know they had an understanding of salvation and what that means. But we also recognize a New Testament fulfillment to this psalm. For as verse 1 describes, the only psalm that opens this way, the Lord as his light, we know that Jesus is the light of the world, John chapter 8. We know the description that the gospel writer of John gives of our Savior's coming into the world, the light that shines in the darkness, for the darkness has not overcome him. Jesus, God's Son, David's greater son, would later come into this world and be the light and the salvation of which David speaks in verse 1. And this Jesus, this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would bring about that light and salvation through his death on the cross. Think of how he endured what David describes in verses 2 and 3 as he hung on the cross. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, though an army encamp around me, though war rise against me. Verse 3, as our Savior hung on the cross, and those who surrounded him were mockers and soldiers, and those who mocked him as he hung defenseless and in darkness on the cross. Jesus continued with his confidence. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As the pangs of hell, of God's wrath, poured out on him on the cross for the sins of God's people, he remained confident and without fear, and he conquered sin and death, and he rose from the grave. And so, as David speaks in verses 4 through 6, as we understand what David describes in verses 4 through 6, we understand these verses in terms of our salvation. We can read them at the deathbed of someone staring death in the face, because that person knows and understands that Christ has walked this journey ahead of him. He knows and understands that he can be in the land of the living, not because he's a good person or because he has been so righteous, but because Christ has gone ahead of him and taken away those sins. He can be confident, not in his own works, but in the accomplishment and the works of our Savior who died for him and who rose for him. And the hope of which David speaks, his dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, gazing upon the beauty of the Lord, protection inside the tent of the Lord, all of those things come true because our Savior has won this victory, because our Savior is the light and salvation for the people of God. But notice as you continue in verse 6, the psalmist declares in the middle of that verse, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. The psalmist understands that in the midst of a dark and defenseless situation, his salvation is secure. And as he faces that dark and defenseless situation, he can sing and worship with shouts of joy, singing and making melodies to the Lord. For our scripture reading, I read to you from Psalm 16, the description of two servants of Christ, Paul and Silas, the beatings that they faced for preaching the word of God and teaching the truth and the way of salvation, the imprisonment that they faced, and what did they do as they sat in that dark and defenseless situation, the inner prison, their hands and feet locked into the stocks. Acts tells us that they prayed and they sang hymns unto God. They no doubt said words like verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Their focus was not on their earthly situation. Their focus was on the salvation that God had given them in Christ Jesus. And they sang with joy in their hearts under the protection of God's grace and eternal salvation. What darkness do you face? What dark and defenseless situation do you find yourselves in right now? As you pray, as you trust, you recognize God's deliverance. You recognize the light and the hope that comes through what Christ has won for you. You recognize Him as the stronghold of your life, your one thought, your one focus to be with God and to dwell with Him, to come to worship and to sing praises and shouts of joy. And you may not experience the prison doors coming open with an earthquake like Acts 16, but you will find the patience and the deliverance of the Lord coming to your heart. The words of the last verse of this psalm are so true. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. No one knows God's plan, how He will work it out in your life. But we do know, as Psalm 27 teaches us, that faith overcomes fear. Fears can overtake us. Fears can overtake any man. But faith in Christ, hope in the light of His salvation, knowing that you belong to Him, can overcome any earthly fear, because faith in Christ, that He has defeated fear, is your hope and your deliverance. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the words of Psalm 27, how this psalm reminds us, Lord, of how desperate and dark the world is in which we live. Yet, Lord, as we reflect on the words of King David, we are reminded of the hope that can come only through our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that He is our light and our salvation. We thank you that He is the stronghold of our life. We thank you that He has lifted our heads and put us upon the rock above our enemies and adversaries. Oh Lord, sometimes it seems as if we are lost, as if we are helpless. But Lord, that enables us to put our faith more in you. Enable us, Lord, to find this hope. Enable us to know and understand what it means to sing praises to you in the midst of darkness. Help us to wait for your answer, for your grace. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.